Hi, I'm Lisa Prather, and welcome to The Voice of Health with our host, Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where lives are changed every day through the natural approach to healthcare.
Well, Dr. Prather, we're going to give a first COVID update. We usually do that in the first segment. And then we're going to go on and talk about kidney stones. And how you never want to get them and how not to get them.
Well, that's a real good thing.
I haven't had kidney stones, but I've had children naturally.
Sure.
And I've heard they're similar.
Okay.
Like birthing children. So, but let's give the COVID update. What is the news about COVID at this time?
Well, it does seem to have slowed down. So there's a lot of encouraging news, but of course they're sitting there and saying that, don't take it lightly. Mm-hmm. Because once we start getting mingling again, then we'll start spreading again, which is absolutely true. Mm-hmm. But again, it's a weighing of risk versus reward and, you know, how much do we need to get the economy going and how much do we need to interact. One thing that has really shown up that's very interesting is I was reading about the overdoses in drugs and just mm-hmm. how high that's been. We had had a little bit of reprieve where it had started to go down, but the numbers have really, really jumped up quite dramatically.
Just recently, you mean?
Yeah, just through this whole thing. Yeah, they're getting those numbers back. Suicide rates are up. It's mm-hmm. in other words, there's a lot of things that are going on. It's always a, they say, well, we need to listen to the medical professionals, mm-hmm. but we need to take in a total picture of what's going on, and because they're just concentrating, they're virologists, mm-hmm. so they're just concentrating on the virus and nothing else exists. Yeah. You know, so everybody's unemployed and the economy's tanking and people are dying of this and that. It's like the oncologist who sits there and said, well, it was a successful treatment. We got rid of the cancer. The patient died, but it's okay.
Right.
We got rid of the cancer.
So where the focus is.
Yeah, it's just, you know, a singular type of a focus and not mm-hmm. really looking at the big picture. And that's one thing that Trump has said, you know, I'm not just looking at the virology of this whole thing, but I'm trying to look at the whole picture. He got into trouble because he was doing an interview recently and said, you know,
got in trouble?
Yeah, can you imagine that? And he sat there and he says, you know, I've been trying to put a positive light on everything. You know, I knew how serious this was, mm-hmm. you know, trying to keep a good picture of it. But I've also tried to keep a very positive outlook. And because there's a tremendous amount of panic going on people. Mm-hmm. He says, I don't want to add to the panic that's already happened from the media. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the media and Biden have taken this and just taken off with it and sit there and said, he was lying to the public. He knew how bad it was and he was, you know, that's not what he said. Mm-hmm. He said, I was trying not to panic people because people were already panicked. And sometimes the fear is worse than the actual disease.
Mm-hmm. And we've seen that in our office.
I've seen that in our office. I mean, mm-hmm. I've had people with, definitely I would diagnose them with PTSD that never even got the virus.
Just from the fear and the panic.
Just the fear and the
anxiety.
Panic.
Anxiety.
And anxiety. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's, again, it's a totally different type of approach, the two sides that are looking at this. And, you know, we need to be thoughtful about this. We want to, talk about the truth of it. Mm-hmm. You know, it is something that is serious. They do divide it up. One thing to keep in mind, 20% of the people seem to be completely immune to it. Mm-hmm. You know, they can get exposed to it all day long and they're not going to catch the virus. We have 40% of the people who absolutely show no signs when they get the virus. I mean, they have nothing. They have no sniffles, no nothing.
40%.
Mm-hmm. We have 20% who have mild symptoms, and then 20% who actually would consider that they have pretty severe, you know, that they have severe symptoms. Mm-hmm. And of those 20%, there's about 2 to 4% that actually it becomes life-threatening. So, you know, it's a matter of taking everything in perspective. Yes, there's been 190,000 deaths that have been associated with the COVID-19, you know, and listed as, you know, but 94% of those had comorbidities. Mm-hmm. In other words, it was just like, you know, one gentleman we know who died from it had a brain tumor that he was dying from. Another one had kidney failure going on. So, you know, there was quite a few different types of things that people were dying from anyway, or had very serious illnesses. It was just like my daughter, Elizabeth, was working in a COVID-19 floor, and she said every single one of them had, you know, comorbidities going on. In other words, these were already sick people. Mm-hmm. So, of those people, 190,000, 9,000 people died purely from the COVID-19.
Right, and we talked about that last week. The CDC came out with that new number, 9,000.
Right.
Died of
just the COVID-19. Okay. And this puts it in perspective, and one thing that, you know, is very true is that the media and the Democratic Party has really just been talking about, you know, everybody's going to die from it. I mean, I've had people think that everybody's going to die from this.
Mm-hmm.
I had someone come in and said, you know, is this worse than the bubonic plague, which killed 40% of European population?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is the impression that a lot of people are getting from the media. And that's one thing that Trump was saying. I'm trying to bring some sanity to this.
Yeah.
And not be running around like Chicken Little and everybody's dying from this thing.
Mm-hmm.
It
Which
is a very
isn't happening.
Yeah, it's a very serious illness, yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a level 2 pandemic, is what the CDC has rated. It is, you know,
how
they're
many
acting,
levels are there?
There's five.
Five.
Mm-hmm. The seasonal flu, you know, the flu has been at a level 1.
Mm-hmm.
Level 5 was the Spanish flu.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that we had, you didn't have to get from the media to know that people were dying from that. You looked out the street.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's something, and yes, it is serious, but it's a level 2.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like France and Germany and all other countries said, for a level 2, doing a lockdown is ridiculous.
Yeah.
The cost of that is far greater than actually a level 2 pandemic. And the media and many of the politicians are sitting there and I think just trying to get ratings and just trying to get political gain out of this. And not giving, you know, what we want is truth and fact. And being aware of what we need to do, but we don't need to be in a panic mood over this.
Now, is this true? I've heard the vaccine could come out as early as October.
There is talk about that. That's one of the things that's been going on. There has been a lot of pushback on that too. So we'll have to wait and see.
Okay. All right. Well, more when we come back on kidney stones.
You can win a free 60-minute massage in a relaxing spa at the Prather Practice. Each month, we have a drawing to give away a free massage to one of our lucky Facebook and Twitter fans. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip featuring Rapid Release Technology.
One of the chiropractic friends who is a soft tissue expert, his textbook, Soft Tissue Therapy, is the one used in medical schools, heavily used as sort of the Bible for soft tissue work. And as soon as he saw rapid release, he switched all of his treatments over to the rapid release because it's much easier on the doctor. You get quicker results, less painful, much better compliance. So when people would be coming in for the Grasson, they would be going, I like the results, but I don't know if I really want to do that. Whereas with rapid release, they come running in and really want that done.
Cause yeah, everybody's they ask like, for it.
Yeah, they're like, okay, we got you cured, but can I have it again anyway?
Well, many patients have bought them.
It's an amazing device and incredible results. It's a great way to get your body relaxed and get those aches and pains out of your system.
As you're using the rapid release, you can see people go into that deep breathing
and going more into that, what we call the parasympathetic mode or the rest and digest.
Really switches and has a huge effect on the nervous system.
And the sessions aren't long. You just do a few minutes in each area.
One of the patients recently with a massage therapist, as she was doing a massage on him, she's going, boy, I'm just having trouble really getting this released. I walked out, got the rapid release, and she did it, and the patient was like, oh my gosh, that's incredible. And she was saying, you know, I got to use that more. To get those problem areas, it works so much quicker, so much easier. It just takes off all the stress of me trying to really work that out. And it's easier on the patient, too.
Relax muscles and release aches, pains, and tension through rapid-release high-speed vibration therapy. Experience the benefits of rapid-release therapy by scheduling an appointment at the Prather Practice. And to purchase your own, go to our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. Click on the rapid-release banner and enter code PRATHER2020 for a $100 discount available to the Voice of Health Radio listeners. The Voice of Health Minute with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice.
This whole process is becoming a huge stress factory.
Well, I know for me, because you had to treat me, it was the first mandate for Marion County, and so I had my mask on a lot more.
Oh, yes.
And then all of a sudden I had thumb pain and couldn't oppose my thumb. Unfortunately, you were out of town, you know, couldn't take care of it right away.
I was trying to get out of
here. I was suffering for about 3 days. And when you
almost couldn't even use your arm.
Right. And you said, it's coming from your jaw. And I'm like, what? You know? And you adjusted my jaw. You did acupuncture. And the pain went away.
I also gave you some homeopathics that have
kept away. Homeopathic TMJ drops.
Right.
Those three things,
and it was almost like gone immediately.
Yes.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest.
Well, we're talking today about kidney stones. You never want to have them. So why that title?
Well,
that's a very professional title.
I thought so. Well, yeah. Basically, whenever I talk to somebody who's had kidney stones, say, oh boy, you never want to have one. So I'm taking that as a direct quote. And quite frankly, I've heard it from every single patient who has kidney stones.
Right.
And so I said, that's appropriate. And if you've had kidney stones, you sit there and you're nodding your head right now. You never want to have one. And he says, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy.
Right. So we answered that. Why the title, right?
Right.
So just how painful are kidney stones?
Well, I've had women come in and say, I birth babies, and then I've had kidney stones. Said, I'll birth babies any day.
Over kidney stones.
Over kidney stones.
You haven't had any men say that, have you?
Well, the men say, you know, my wife said that, you know, if they had it, they said it's actually worse than birthing babies, but... He said, wow, it feels like I'm birthing a baby. And he says, I'm not built for that.
Oh, that's funny. What is a kidney stone?
Well, kidney stones are basically come from material that the kidneys usually get rid of, but they accumulate in there. In other words, there's an accumulation. They start to join together. And then they start to actually make a stone. And the things that they make it out of is calcium, oxalate, cysteine, xanthine, and phosphate.
Are so the that's things what that, a kidney stone is made out of?
Well, that can be. The most common ones are made out of are a combination of calcium and oxalate. Mm. So, you know, those are the materials in there that start to form and make those kidney stones. And, you know, evaluating exactly what it's made up of is really important to know how to actually deal with a kidney stone. But the vast majority, about 80%, are calcium and oxalate.
Okay. So what causes kidney stones to form?
Well, there's quite a few things that can actually be precursors to kidney stones. And quite frankly, it gets a little complicated. Mm. So you're, one, talking about, you know, the function of the kidneys. If you have poor functioning kidneys, then more likely you are to have kidney stones, which just makes sense.
Right.
So if you have chronic kidney disease, that can actually lead to kidney stones. If your hormones are off, the parathyroid actually handles balance of the minerals. So if you have an abnormal parathyroid, you have too high or too low of estrogen. So the whole hormonal balance of your body starts to actually influence that. Osteoporosis can actually be a thing. Heavy metal toxicity can also contribute to it. It can be obesity, dietary. It can be sometimes idiopathic. You know what idiopathic means?
Something about being an idiot.
Yeah, we're an idiot and we have no idea. So doctors sit there and that's really what it means.
It sounds so profound.
I know. They sit there and they said, well, you have idiopathic nephropathy. You know, they sit there and say, you have idiopathic something. And they go, and patients go, wow, huh? Wow, you're really smart. And he just called himself an idiot because I have no idea what's going on. But you say it in Latin and then, you know, you put idiopathic in it and it makes you sound smart.
Oh, my goodness.
But you, in other words, there can be an awful lot of things that are going on.
Right. And so someone could have kidney stones and not even realize they were in... that their kidneys were in bad shape.
Sure. And a lot of people have kidney stones and don't actually pass kidney stones. Mm-hmm. So you can actually have them developing in the kidneys and cause problems and never actually go through passing, never know that they actually had a kidney stone. Mm. So I have a lot of people coming in with back pains or other different types
low
of...
Low back pain, yeah.
Low back pain, abdominal problems, nausea, different types of issues, fatigue. And they're like, I don't know what's going on. I just don't feel good, feel well. Mm-hmm. And we do the analysis and we say, well, you know, we've got kidney stones. So we go in there, get them on the things to help to eliminate that. And then
you don't go in there.
Well, yeah, we figure out what we need to do, you know, why the body's out of balance, get that cleared up. We see the kidney stones are gone. And the patient's saying, well, I feel $1 million. I feel so much better. Mm-hmm. And they didn't know that that was an issue. And it happens a lot more.
How common are kidney stones?
Well, there are 500,000 emergency room visits for kidney stones.
Wow.
A year. And basically, 1 in 10 people are going to pass a kidney stone in their lifetime.
1 in 10.
Yeah, so 10% of everybody.
That's a lot more than I thought.
Yeah, that's an awful lot of people. And the rate is going up. So each year, the number of the percentage of people who are actually passing kidney stones, and we're not even talking about people who are actually suffering from kidney stones.
You know, we're talking about passing.
Passing a kidney stone. Mm-hmm. So really, of the people that we find, and there's really no numbers on that, on how many people actually have kidney stones, but aren't passing, because usually we don't deal with it. I mean, most doctors do not deal with that until you actually pass a kidney stone. Mm-hmm. We actually find that early on people, and we treat an awful lot of people. And really, it's about 20% of the people who have kidney stones who are actually having problems with it. Only 20% of those people actually pass a kidney stone.
Okay.
So, you know, it's a much more common type of problem than people realize. And it's a very common thing that we deal with in our office because that's one of the things we're constantly looking for.
So what are symptoms of... kidney stones, having kidney stones?
Well, having severe pain in the sides of the back. Mm-hmm. So right over the kidney area. When people actually have kidney stones, I sit there and I talk to them and I sit there and I says, you appear to have some kidney stones. And they sit there and they say, well, doc, I don't have any symptoms. I said, well, stand right on up. Let me just poke on the points on your kidneys. So I go up there and poke on the kidney points on their back. And they kind of drop to the floor, mm-hmm. and say, doc, that kind of hurt. And,
like you enjoy that.
No, I never do. I always laugh and they sit there and say, doc, you kind of enjoyed that. And I sit there and I said, now, when we get rid of the kidney stones, those points won't hurt anymore. And a lot of the symptoms that you're talking about, you know, a lot of the fatigue, a lot of the back pains that you have, A lot of the abdominal issues, a lot of things are actually going to disappear once you get rid of that.
Right, and a lot of people will come in with low back pain thinking it's structural.
Yeah, it's a chiropractic situation. It's actually a kidney that's giving them the problem.
And you can tell the difference by palpating and touching.
I can palpate in there and actually, yeah, poke on it. Vague abdominal pain, we were talking about that. Blood in the urine is a common type of thing. Even when they're not necessarily passing a kidney stone, there can be blood in the urine. That's a common reason along those lines. Nausea and vomiting. People, when they start to pass a kidney stone, are going to oftentimes upchuck because it just doesn't feel good. Fever, chills. And then the urine smells bad or is cloudy. Okay. So a common type of thing that people are saying, you know, as I'm asking them questions and I sit there, I said, anything about your urine? So I don't know, doc, I don't want to say it, but my urine doesn't smell great. And it's kind of cloudy, you know, and I don't know what it, you know, what the problem is. And so, you know, we check for the kidney stones and we find out that that's one thing that's going on. But
I just wondering, does urine ever smell good?
I saw you looking at me like a little confused. Well, let's say it smells worse than normal.
Okay.
You were looking at me like, I've never smelled urine that smells good. I think that's what you were telling me.
All right. So those are some of the symptoms.
Well, one of the things, of course, is fatigue. People aren't really that aware of it. Yeah. But kidney stones, any type of a kidney problem actually causes a lot of fatigue. One of the things is if you are in martial arts or boxing or anything like that, and you get hit in the kidneys, it just takes your legs out from underneath you. In other words, if you're boxing, and that's why a kidney punch isn't allowed, because if you hit somebody in the kidneys, you get away from it, their arms are going to drop. They can't hold their arms up anymore, and they can't move very well.
Yeah, that's a good example of what's going on with the kidneys.
Sure, so if you have kidney problems, you're going to be definitely fatigued.
Interesting. So who's at risk for kidney stones?
Well, interestingly enough, even kids. Little kids can actually get kidney stones.
Oh, really?
So we've had people bring in their kids that, you know, severe back pain, don't know what's wrong. You know, they think that they're, you know, just got back pain, and I said that we find out it's their kidneys. So it can actually range from any age. The people who are most prone to kidney stones are people with chronic kidney disease. Obesity is a big factor along those lines. Diabetes also is a big factor. Men more common than women. And then also Caucasians have a higher rate of kidney stones.
Interesting.
It also goes along with a higher rate of osteoporosis. So the people who have a higher rate of osteoporosis also have a higher rate of kidney stones. And osteoporosis is actually one of the things that can actually lead to kidney stones.
That's interesting because you said they're made out of calcium.
Right.
That's interesting. All right, when we come back, more on kidney stones. You never want to have them.
Listen to the Voice of Health Radio on your smartphone or tablet on all of the top radio apps available. TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. You can find these apps and more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is the Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. Laughter is the best medicine.
Does it seem that your good friend Jack Benny has been gone as long as he has?
He was my closest friend.
I know he was.
Yeah, he's a wonderful man.
We were sitting at the Brown Derby,
and the waiter came over. He said, I'll have bacon and eggs for lunch. He said, I'll have cream of wheat. He says, and I hate cream of wheat. I said, then why do you order cream of wheat? He says, Mary says it's good for me. I said, tell Mary to eat cream of wheat. I said, I'm going to have bacon and eggs. He said, I love bacon and eggs. Why don't you have bacon and eggs? He said, Mary says it's bad for me. I said, tell Mary not to eat bacon and eggs. And the waiter came over. He said, bacon and eggs. And Jack says, I'll have bacon and eggs. I said, when the check comes, give it to Jack Benny. He said, why should I pay for the check? I says, if you don't pay for the check, I'll tell Mary I have bacon and eggs.
The Voice of Health Minute with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice.
What is the news on the vaccination?
They are saying that they're going to be bringing it out here pretty soon. And it's not actually the coronavirus. It's a modified, genetically altered adenovirus to resemble the coronavirus. So they've genetically spliced and diced an adenovirus added a little bit of some of the markers for the coronavirus. They're saying that that is going to help boost the immune system against the coronavirus. Fauci said they feel that it's going to be effective, but of course not as effective as actually getting the coronavirus. But they don't want anybody to get the coronavirus, so they're having them wear the mask. Don't go out and actually get a true immunity of it. We want to give you a modified adenovirus, which isn't going to be as effective, but we'd like you to do it that way.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. The Prather Practice, restoring hope.
A special message from the DTS Weight Loss Center at the Prather Practice.
Are you tired of making the same weight loss resolution only to end up right back where you started? Let the professionals at DTS Weight Loss Center take all the frustration out of dieting. Our nutritionists and wellness coaches know what works for every body type and can develop a plan specific to your needs throughout your medically supervised program. Make the change by visiting us online at dtsweightlosscenter.com. Dedicate. Transform. Succeed.
When you call the Prather Practice to schedule your appointment at our DTS Weight Loss Center, mention the Voice of Health radio show and you'll receive a free initial consultation plus a free body composition analysis. 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. The DTS Weight Loss Center at the Prather Practice. Dedicate, transform, succeed.
I was feeling so bad.
I'm Lisa Prather, and you're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of The Prather Practice, where we get to the root cause of your health issue.
We're talking about kidney stones. You never want to have them. So how are kidney stones diagnosed?
Urinalysis is a very important type of way. Mm-hmm. Evaluation along those lines. Also, you can do imaging. There's different types of imaging that you can bring up those kidney stones, and very general ones. So oftentimes we can see it on x-rays. Or there's some specialty types of analysis that you can do to prove that they're there.
You also want to know the health of the kidneys too, right? Do you get that information?
Very important aspect.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what diagnostics should be done for kidney stones?
Well, you should do blood tests. Blood tests are very important. Urinalysis is very important. Hair analysis is important. And a GI stool kit is all very important for
that.
Well,
let's talk about blood work. Okay. Why is blood work important?
Well, first off, you have to look at the kidneys, the health of the kidneys.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the things is chronic kidney disease, which is according to the CDC, as a matter of fact, about a year ago, we did a whole talk about chronic kidney disease and how it's underdiagnosed and undertreated.
Mm-hmm.
CDC has talked about that quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so anytime that you have chronic kidney disease going on, you're going to have a higher rate of kidney stones. Kidney stones also then cause chronic kidney disease. So it can become a very vicious cycle. So you want to see how the kidneys are functioning. Blood work is one of the most important ways to do that. Also, you need to do blood work for the hormones.
Mm-hmm.
To see how they're working, because they play a very big role in how the function of the calcium, phosphorus, because the hormones actually control those levels throughout your system.
Mm-hmm.
So all those things are very important. There's even more to look at. You're looking at the blood levels of the minerals. You're looking at adrenal function. There's a tremendous amount that's going on that has an influence on the kidneys themselves.
What about a hair analysis? You brought that up. Why is that important?
That's one of the really big missing things that most people don't do for kidney stones.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very, very critical, because one of the things that's a big factor for forming kidney stones and kidney damage is heavy metal toxicity. Matter of fact, the most common thing that can really kick off kidney stones, long-term type of problem, is cadmium toxicity.
Cadmium. Mm.
But all heavy metals can be a real problem. Also, as you're looking at that, you can see how the balance of the minerals in the tissues, because that's a very big factor in determining on how to treat the kidney stones. So you have to get all the minerals balanced out. Get the ones that are high back under control, the ones that are low. And it's quite an interesting balance. Because if you get that balance off, and I don't like to guess, and hair analysis keeps me from actually guessing along those lines.
No guessing.
No guessing. And the hair analysis is absolutely critical to be able to treat kidney stones.
And then you talked about a GI, gastrointestinal evaluation. Why is that important for kidney stones?
Well, one of the biggest things that they find that helps with kidney stones is fiber. So high levels of fiber will really help out with the kidney stones. They're not quite sure why. But one of the things that I always tell people is that vitamins and minerals are brought into the system with high levels of fiber. So that's why fiber is so important, is because it reduces the amount of calories, but it increases the mineral and vitamin content of the body. So fiber seems to play a very big role. Also, the fatty acids, if you have fat going through the stool and not being taken in, then you're not getting your vitamin A, vitamin D. You're not getting the things, those fat-soluble vitamins into the body. And when that happens, and it's because of a lack of bile, so the gallbladder has a huge influence on whether you actually develop kidney stones. So if you have gallbladder problems, that is one of the things that can actually lead to kidney stones. So, whenever some woman comes in and she's had her gallbladder removed, especially, already I am pretty well guessing that she has a better than 50-50 chance that she's also developing kidney stones. So that is a big red flag along those lines, because now I know the whole body's not working correctly, and that we need to get this under control.
Now, did you say women? Because more women get their gallbladder removed.
More women get their gallbladder removed. Yeah.
Pregnancies, and they seem to have issues with it.
Right.
I know this last blood work I had, my gallbladder was fine.
Yeah, I know. You were real proud of that.
We've been working on that. Yes. I was very proud of that.
Yes,
have other things to work on.
You're right, you got the gallbladder.
We won't talk about them right now.
All right.
But I also wanted to know, let our listeners know that the blood work is covered by most insurances.
Yes.
And we have LabCorp that has space in our office. And what I like about them, they let you know right then and there before you get your blood drawn how much it's going to cost. So there's no surprises.
We don't like surprises.
We don't like surprises. We don't like our patients to have surprises.
No.
The hair analysis, unfortunately, is not covered by insurance. It's $150. Very informative. The three tests you're talking about are basic tests.
Yeah.
We want everybody.
Those are the three
do.
I always. As a matter of fact, I have a lot of patients coming in. So, hey, I've listened to your radio program. I want the three basic tests to find out what's going on with my health.
Right.
And those three tests, I always say everybody should be have those done at least once a year as an annual.
Yeah, and the gastrointestinal evaluation or stool kit, fancier name.
We like to say GI test.
GI test.
Yeah, instead of stool.
And you do it at home, please.
Right.
That is covered also by most insurances. Sure. There is a small copay fee, initially. But again, the information you gather from these three tests are so important.
Yes.
So let's talk about what are the risks of having kidney stones?
Kidney stones, of course. I mean, the pain and discomfort is always a huge problem. But the damage to the kidneys, and if those kidneys start to drop, that's just a red flag. It starts the whole process of the body failing.
Well, you've always talked about you're as young as your kidneys.
Yes, and that is absolutely true. Basically, you can actually get one of the major biological age markers from your kidneys, and keeping your kidneys healthy is one of the biggest signs that you're on your longevity. I can pretty well take a look at somebody and take a look at their blood tests, and pretty, as long as, you know, they don't get in a car accident or something like that,
right,
how long they're going to live by what I see on the blood work. Mm-hmm. The kidneys and the what's called the glomerular filtration rate is one of the biggest indicators on how healthy someone is.
Yeah, and you can change that.
You can.
Yeah. Like for the first time my blood work, my kidneys had been perfect to this last blood work. And
yeah, we're going to work at that. Yeah.
Get them back.
Yep, there you go.
So what is disease-centered treatments for kidney stones?
Well, yeah, interestingly enough, for kidney stones, basically what they do is they, you know, you go in and they try to get the pain under control.
Mm-hmm.
And then let you try to pass them.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
they can hit it with some sound waves,
mm-hmm,
and try to break it up. But or actually, if it gets infected, then they do surgery, which is also a major type of an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I've known people who've had surgery for kidney stones and really had a lot of problems with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really, that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's not a whole lot of options when you're talking about the disease care model for kidney stones. So, mm-hmm, as most doctors will recognize, the disease care model really doesn't have a whole lot to offer for that.
Okay. When we come back, we're going to talk about the structure function model. That's the type of model we do at the Prather practice, and how it can be helpful for kidney stones and the health of the kidney.
Never miss an episode of The Voice of Health so that you can stay informed and empowered about your health. Get a podcast of our show automatically delivered to you every week by signing up for our show on iTunes. You can find that link on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. And don't forget, thevoiceofhealthradio.com has complete archives of all of our past episodes with an audio library of information to help you add more life to your years and more years to your life. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice. Dr. Prather, how common is infertility?
The official numbers are about 10% of the population has been diagnosed with infertility problems.
That'd be women.
Actually, it's about 50-50.
Oh,
when you're talking about infertility issues, it's not just a woman's problem, but it's also a man's problem, too.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly enough, it is actually a growing problem. It's getting worse.
What role does structure function care play in treating infertility?
Most people think about the medical intervention,
mm-hmm,
IVF treatments, but really, as you're looking at, the first step should be just trying to get healthy. You know, approaching this from a standpoint of things aren't working right, what's not working right, and then getting it functioning properly. The healthier you are, the more likely you are to get pregnant. That's mm-hmm. just the way it works.
Is the Prather practice successful in treating infertility?
Yes, and one of the things is we have quite a few couples who come in for infertility problems, and we have an extremely high success rate. As we look at the percentage of who I kind of consider was our infertility patients, most of them that we kind of consider had already been through medical intervention trying to get pregnant. We were unsuccessful. And we have about between an 80 and 90% success rate, even with those men and women.
That have already been through the medical.
That have already tried the medical and was unsuccessful.
Interesting.
It's amazing, again, if you get the body healthy, how successful that is.
And the medical intervention is so costly.
Yes, it's extremely costly, but if you've been through it, oftentimes we need to really repair a lot of damage. Because it's really, really hard on the body.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a pleasant experience at all. Very emotional, very expensive. And really, really just wears out. And there's been quite a few women who, I don't even care about getting pregnant right now. I just want to, you know, my hormones are all a mess. I've lost weight. There's all sorts of different things that are going on. When we do their blood work, you know, there's kidney damage, liver damage, you know, that has actually occurred through it. Mm-hmm. And so we get them healthy, and as we're getting them healthy, all of a sudden they get pregnant too. So mm-hmm. it's a very rewarding type of thing.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of The Prather Practice, where our mission is restoring hope to our patients.
We're talking about kidney stones, and you never want to have them. And Dr. Prather, we talked about the disease-centered treatment for kidney stones. Let's talk about the structure-function treatment for kidney stones. We practice structure-function care at The Prather Practice. We're helping the body move into homeostasis, where the body's balanced, because that's the definition of true health.
Sure. And when you're talking about structure function care, you're using things that basically food grade products.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're talking about a pharmaceutical, you know, just talking about the difference between disease care and structure function care. Disease care is where you're talking about diseases are a set of symptoms. And you are then taking a pharmaceutical to help to control those symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do is they are symptom-based. And all pharmaceuticals have negative side effects, create diseases in and of themselves. Otherwise, it can't be classified as a pharmaceutical.
Mm-hmm.
When you're talking about structure-function care, what you're talking about is taking things that are out of balance and bringing them back into balance. Structure function care does not treat diseases. That is reserved specifically and only for pharmaceuticals and surgery. So when we're talking about that, what we're trying to do is to get the body to work better, get it back into balance. That balance is called homeostasis, and homeostasis is health.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's talk about some of the services, treatments we have in structure function care that are helpful with kidney stones. Let's talk about herbals.
Herbals.
What herbals are helpful?
And herbals are really our magic formula to get the kidney stones. I mean, it's quite remarkable how well they work. We have people coming in all the time who are suffering with kidney stones, and basically the herbal formulas really get that under control very quickly.
Mm.
The basic things that we're looking on that can help is cranberry, concentrated cranberry. You need quite a bit of that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's something that has been well proven to get kidney stones under control. Desmonium styrocephaloium.
There goes that Latin again.
Yeah. That's a Chinese herb. I won't try to pronounce the Chinese name for it. That actually is one of the things that has been used for thousands of years to help the body to get the kidney stones out, and very, very effective. Rose hips are actually something also that is very helpful for kidney stones. And then my favorite one is sambong.
Mm.
Blumea, we get quite a bit from the Philippines. It's something that's been used there for a long time. These things, we check them out to see which one's going to work the best, what combination along those lines. But as we can put those together, we just have results after results after results with the herbals for the elimination of the kidney stone.
That's what I like, is we have these different herbals,
right?
But we can test which one would be best for that individual.
Right, because that is important to come up with the right one. There's a huge amount of evidence for these in PubMed on how they work, and something that these are used, because there aren't really the pharmaceuticals available, these herbs are used quite a bit throughout the rest of the world. It's just not that common here in the United States. And again, it's a matter of the medical doctors not being allowed to do structure function care to actually help to get that under control. But this is something that's really missing. And I mean, just this last couple of weeks, I had three or four patients who had come in with some kidney stone attacks and having some pains. One of them couldn't actually come in, and we had to send him some products to him, herbal products, and he started them. And actually, within an hour after taking them, he could tell a difference.
Mm.
The herbals and how they are used along those lines has been something
now,
that's...
You mentioned cranberry. Well,
right.
Yeah, and you've concentrated cranberry. But also, is cranberry juice good and cranberries good for the kidneys?
They are. They're very good for the kidneys. Really help with urinary tract infections. Mm. Help with chronic kidney disease, too. So cranberries, I mean, you know, we're talking about food grade things.
Food grade, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's talk about how important is water with kidney stones.
Well, that's one of the things that they really find is people who have kidney stones, oftentimes they are chronically dehydrated.
Mm.
So getting your hydration up, one of the things that I have people do for kidney stones is drink Fiji water.
Mm-hmm.
Fiji water has high silica. Fiji water is what the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball use for their athletes because they were used to having problems, you know, from dehydration.
Yeah.
That was occurring. And when they drink Fiji water, they don't have those instances.
Mm-hmm.
So just a little plug. Fiji has not given me an endorsement. But right now, the water that we have as we're doing this is Fiji water.
Yeah.
And
if they do want to give endorsements,
we will not refuse it. I'm sure that they are just real excited about that. But that is, and drinking quite a bit of water really cuts down on the chances of having the.
Do they say it's about half your body weight in ounces?
Well, you know, one of the best ways to do is look at the when you urinate, how yellow is your urine. That's one of the best ways just to look at it. You want to try to clear it up as much as you possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
So if things are starting to get dark, you know, dark yellow and stuff, mm-hmm. You know, you need to lighten it up. So that tells you you need to actually get some more water.
So you could be dehydrated.
Right.
Yeah.
At least a liter to a liter and a half
you
a day.
You said dark. What about bright yellow?
Yeah, bright yellow, all those types of things. So you want to try to really try to get the... get it as clear as possible.
The urine clear. Okay. So what dietary changes help kidney stones?
Well, again, the big thing, well, don't obesity.
Yeah.
Obesity is bad for about everything.
Yeah.
You know, you've got too much through the middle and that starts to slow things down. Mm-hmm. Fiber. They found that a heavy vegetarian diet, and basically what they're talking about that is fiber.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very important for about everything. So keeping your fiber up, you know, basically we kind of switched how much fiber we've been taking for sugar. And that's the other thing is cutting down on sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Sugar increases it, fiber decreases. I mean, fiber just helps about everything. It's the best thing for weight loss. It's the best thing. It's the most important nutrient that you possibly can take is fiber.
Mm-hmm.
And the worst one you can actually take is sugar. So reversing those and getting that down. The fat in the bowels, we talked about the bile, making sure that that's actually going well. And then avoiding, you can actually avoid high oxalate foods. If you're having issues along those lines, beans, cocoa, instant coffee is really bad for it.
These are the things to avoid.
These are things to avoid.
Mm-hmm.
Parsley, rhubarb, spinach, tea, beet tops, carrots, celery, chocolate is really bad for that. Cucumbers, grapefruit, kale, peanuts. Peanuts actually can kick off oxalate crystals. Pepper and sweet potatoes.
And some of those sound like real healthy, like kale and celery. And
right. But kidney stones. And we've had, there are some times where that doesn't really make a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
But some of them that we see really makes a huge difference along those lines. We test all this out, but probably I would say the biggest thing is chocolate, cocoa, and instant coffee.
So you're just the instant coffee over...
Well, coffee itself, actually mm-hmm. any of the caffeines, but instant coffee seems to be worse than regular coffee.
Interesting.
Yeah, have a higher type of thing. Again, avoid sugar. Alcohol is also something that can actually really kick it up. And again, avoiding the caffeine.
Okay. Well, how much fun is all that?
Did I just kind of eliminate... Well, fiber. Fiber is fun, sweetheart.
Fiber is fun. That'll be your next book.
Fun. Yeah. That sounds fun. I think people will snatch that up like crazy. Oh, that makes sense. Fun fiber. How does he do this?
Well, let's talk about vitamins and minerals that are helpful with kidney stones.
Well, one of the big things that, we talked about the fat-soluble vitamins. Mm-hmm. Vitamin A is a big factor. Vitamin D is also a very big factor on this. So those are really important. You have to watch out, though. Make a dose of vitamin C, especially buffered vitamin C, can actually kick off a kidney stone attack.
Oh, really?
So that's one thing if you have a...
I thought you'd pee out what you don't need with vitamin C.
Well, it puts a lot of stress in through the kidneys. So if you take megadoses on that, putting that into the system, that's where it goes out from. And that can put an extra stress along those lines. So that's one thing that I tell people who need vitamin C, have kidney stones, that they should actually get a vitamin C based on rose hips, which actually helps to eliminate, because rose hips are also very high in vitamin C. Mm-hmm. They actually use that as a vitamin C supplement.
Oh, okay.
So you can actually do that instead of doing the buffered vitamin C. Mm-hmm. So that's a big thing.
And everything we're mentioning we carry at the Prather practice.
Certainly. Mm-hmm. Calcium, vitamin D. Are all getting that whole thing balanced, and it gets rather complicated. So kind of giving, because vitamin D can go too low or too high, mm-hmm. and you can actually have problems. Calcium, also too high and too low, too much, too little, mm-hmm. can actually cause problems. One of the best things that you can do is magnesium and vitamin B6. Because they find that most people who forms, especially calcium oxalate crystals, are low in magnesium and vitamin B6. And if you combine the two, you can get a better effect. And it's really a great way to go after kidney stones. Also, phosphorus and potassium are very important along those lines, too.
Okay.
Lysine also is very mm-hmm. critical.
Okay. Anything else on the vitamins and minerals?
Well, there's actually more, but that kind of gives people enough to work with.
Okay. I want to talk about this. What is the history of Coca-Cola and kidney stones? I want to make sure I get to that.
Oh, yeah. Everybody loves that history. And this is not official from Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola will actually deny it.
Okay.
But the history that I heard, and a lot of people have used this, and I've had a lot of patients use it, and say it's extremely effective. You know how you can pour Coca-Cola over a battery gunk and it dissolves?
Yeah.
Well, the history on that is when you would go into a you know, like soda jerks were always in the pharmacies. Mm-hmm. Well, what they would do is take concoctions of herbs, put a little sugar in it, and then soda, and that's how they got to be. That's where this whole soda industry came from, was from medicine. Mm-hmm. And Coca-Cola, according to what I've heard, was actually designed for kidney stones, as a dissolving kidney stones. Matter of fact, I've had people who had terrible problems actually passing a kidney stone drink lots of Coca-Cola, and it actually gets rid of the...
It kind of dissolved it or breaks
dissolves
it down.
And very, very effective. Matter of fact, the whole reason that they had cocaine in Coca-Cola was for the pain.
Oh, wow.
So the herbal formula on Coca-Cola, according to urban legend, was designed originally for kidney stones and is actually extremely effective. Now, you have to have the real stuff.
Mm-hmm. The real thing.
The real thing.
Not the diet.
Not the diet, not any
not
type
Pepsi.
Of...
Pepsi.
Not any... No, Pepsi.
The
no,
real thing.
The real Coca-Cola. And that seems to get rid of the kidney stones.
All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Prather. Very informative, as always.
Well, thank you, Lisa. Had a great time.
The Prather Practice is located at 8902 North Meridian Street on the north side of Indianapolis, just south of the I-465 loop. If we can help you to achieve better health, we'd love to hear from you. Connect with our office at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Join us again here next week or anytime on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com for The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.